You're listening to Colt Chinero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, and my guest on this edition of Colt Chinero Chat is Into the Calderon staff writer, Rob Walker. Big show with Rob today, as we are going to discuss Atletico's goalless draw with Bayer Leverkusen at the Calderon on Wednesday, a result which saw Atletico progress to a fourth consecutive Champions League quarterfinal. Mostly thanks to Jan Oblak. We'll talk a lot about Jan Oblak. Also, the Champions League quarterfinal draw was held on Friday, and Atletico were pitted against Leicester City. We'll offer a brief analysis of that tie set to take place next month before we get into the juicy game on Sunday, also at the Calderon, against Sevilla. All that and more after this. All right, so let's talk about Wednesday first. Let's start there. At the Calderon, goalless draw, Atletico's 15th Champions League clean sheet in the last 17 home games. That's a remarkable record, I think.
Yep.
I don't know for sure. I think that's pretty good if you do that.
Yes. Not conceding goals is always nice.
And the two games they didn't keep clean sheets in were the 2-1 loss to Benfica in the group stage last year and the 2-1 win against Rostov this year. It's pretty good.
And this is how you close out a tie at everyone else in the knockout stage.
Looking at you, Manchester City.
Yes. And
looking
and
at you,
PSG.
Sevilla.
Yep, this is how you do it.
Yeah, especially Sevilla.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, really, this was so classic and really actually kind of enjoyable to watch just because they had such a chokehold on it.
Yeah, you did up the match report for this game. I want to spend a few minutes on Oblak, but other than Oblak, what else stood out to you in this game? What else caught your eye?
I mean, I think it was under the circumstances, given that they had four away goals and a good win in the first leg. The first half was they sort of went for it, saw if they could try to make some chances and get goals, and if Bernd Leno hadn't been out of his mind, then they probably would have gotten one or maybe two. And then the second half, they just figured it was safer just to shut up shop, and that was the smart thing to do. And they did it well, aided by Oblak, obviously, but, you know, it was a good defensive performance overall, I thought.
Yeah, Leno, I thought, was really good. He was overshadowed, of course, by what Oblak did about 20 minutes from time, but he made a one save on Correa toward the end of the first half that was simply outstanding. Really, only got a couple fingers to it, but still did enough to keep it out of the net. It looked like it was going in from Correa.
It was way down in that bottom right hand corner, and
yeah,
he did very well to get a hand to it.
And we talk about Correa missing chances a lot. This was actually nothing you could really do there. This was just a great effort from Leno, who was the masked man in this game, along with Stefan Savic.
That was kind of fun. Now we could have, not that he'll play because of Godin, but we could have a dual mask duo with him, Savic and Josema, next match.
That's correct, because Josema broke his nose in this game as well.
Yeah,
what is it?
A lot of noses recently.
What is it with Atleti's central defenders and breaking their nose?
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. It just looked like he had started bleeding halfway through the half, just like what happened with Savage out of nowhere.
Yeah, Savage started bleeding. I don't think we got to this on the last pod, but Savage started bleeding in stoppage time at Granada, and we just like, okay, he's bleeding. Why is he bleeding? And Godin is just like screaming at the referee, saying, "What the hell are you doing?" and getting booked for it. And now, about an hour into this game on Wednesday, Jimenez just starts bleeding.
Yeah, like, get him a new shirt. Keep on going.
Very strange.
I'd rather them break their nose than something that would stop them from playing.
Right, like a foot or, you know,
right,
tearing up a knee, you know, something like that. But the best part of this game, by far, was Jan Oblak's triple save in the 68th minute. This was, I've never seen this before, not just from Oblak, but from really any goalkeeper to do what he did. Josema gave it away, of course. He was trying to play a short pass in front of goal to Vrsaljko, I think, and Julian Brandt picked it up, came through on goal. Oblak makes a good save on Brandt, but the saves he made on Kevin Volland were just totally sick. The second, yeah, exactly. The second save, the first one he made on Volland, I think was his best one.
Yeah, because he had to get up from the Brandt save, save it again. But then to, because the ball went right back to Volland for the third save, and he had to get up so quickly. I mean, yeah. The athleticism in that was incredible.
He reacted so quickly to Volland's first shot. Like, he changed directions, like, on a dime. And then Volland tried to delay it and get it on, cut inside and get onto his other foot. And then Oblak made that save as well. Like, you could see it happening in slow motion. Like, Oblak was just like, you're not going to score. He made that save, and the ball bounces to Chicharito. And Chicharito had, like, the best chance of all, because his shot just went right through the six-yard box.
Like, very nearly went over the line. It was a crazy moment. Watching it live, it was insane.
Yeah, and I think it might have taken a deflection, Chicharito's shot, because it looked very, very close to going in. And if that had gone in, that just would have been so sad.
I know, it would have killed it, but I'm so glad it didn't. Because if he just laid on his back, Oblak, in the goal afterwards, and I really don't blame him for it.
That's like the most emotion Oblak has ever shown.
Yeah, I know it. And he was hugging Kevin Kampl after the game in the press conference. That was interesting.
Yeah, a guy you've written about is potentially coming to Atletico, Kevin Kampl.
Yeah, that was rumored in both Spanish and German newspapers. And I thought he was probably Leverkusen's best player on the night. Up there maybe with Leno, but of outfield players, he was right up there.
Yeah, he was
totally tireless.
Much better than in the first leg. And you got to give Bayer Leverkusen some credit here. They played really hard. They outshot Atletico 18-13. 18 shots. Oblak needed to make 6 saves. Bayer had 56% possession to Atletico's 44%. You got to give them a lot of credit for this. And a brand new manager coming in as well, you've got to make up a big deficit. They came out and they played hard. Just wasn't going in for them on the night.
Yeah, they played well, specifically in the second half. I think in terms of shots, they were a good bit off the pace in the first half. But in the second half, they really stepped it up. And I think after that triple save, the best one was from... what's that Jamaican kid? Leon Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey.
They made a save from way, way, way out down to Oblak's left, and that was a good attempt as well.
Yeah, he was just not going to be beaten on Wednesday.
No.
He was not giving one up. But Atletico played pretty well themselves, had quite a few decent chances around the hour mark. Griezmann and Correa both missing pretty good chances themselves. Atletico's best player, other than Oblak on the night, though, might have been Tomas.
Yeah, Tomas was really good.
He played great.
He seemed to have a really huge influence on the game, carrying the ball through midfield and winning it back as well. He's been really, really good in the last few games.
You know, he's not as technically sound as some of the other midfielders in the squad. Like, you look at guys like Gaetan, Saul, Carrasco, even Koke. Tomas doesn't have the technical qualities that those players have, but he's very athletic. Very athletic. He's fast. His positioning is good. He completed 7 dribbles in this game, which is a very high number. He made his way through some difficult markers.
Absolutely, and used his strength just to push through people. Blast through the midfield. He was very impressive, and he doesn't need to be a great like technical passer at all.
No, he doesn't.
Koke is excellent at that, as we know.
He just needs to be there to break up play, and really get around the pitch. And he's got speed. He's got strength. Just don't mess up, and he doesn't mess up.
Yeah, and you love to see that from an academy graduate as well. It's just so good.
Cholo said that after the game. He said, "What I'm most proud of is that guys like Saul and Tomas, who were playing in the academy and out on loan a few years ago at, you know, Almeria and Rayo Vallecano, they're now key contributors to a team that's in a 4th consecutive Champions League quarterfinal." And that's important.
Yeah, and I think with his performances in recent matches, he's probably going to win over some of Simeone's confidence so that he may get some starts in some upcoming matches.
Yeah, it's going to be important to keep the squad fresh as Atleti have secure progression, have some big games coming up in La Liga. April, it's going to be a tough month coming back after international break, as it is for a lot of teams. April is going to be a busy month.
I guess we don't have too many people on international duty. Saul's with Spain's under-21s, and Koke's with the senior squad.
Koke, Godin, and Jimenez are both going with Uruguay. Griezmann, of course, is going with France.
So is Camero, if he's fit, I guess.
Yeah, and reports are that he is going to be fit and he's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, and Gabby and Felipe will be back Sunday. They, of course, missed out Wednesday due to yellow card accumulation. So, Atleti are getting healthier. And hopefully after international break, we'll receive some news on maybe Thiago, maybe even Augusto. Which could be a huge boost.
Who knows what's going on with Thiago at this point? He's just been missing in action for quite some time now.
Yeah, Thiago has been out for 3 months now. He was removed during that game at Villarreal after he basically gave up, I think it was their first goal. He basically conceded the first goal for Villarreal. He was removed immediately with a quote-unquote knee injury. He's been out 3 months.
Yeah, it's one of those made-up injuries, I think.
He was supposed to be back in training last month, but he's still on the outside looking in. I'm not sure if he's going to play again this season, and I'm not sure Atleti need him, moreover.
Yeah, I mean, he's quite old at this point. It wouldn't shock me entirely if he ended up retiring at the end of the season.
He's going to be out of contract. He's 36 years old.
It wouldn't be a surprise at all.
Probably has a future in coaching, maybe even with Atletico. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's spent the best part of his career certainly at Atleti. So, and he played such a huge part in the title-winning side. He deserves to have a coaching spot if he wants it.
Oh yeah, yeah. The club will make things pretty easy for him. Other than that, on Wednesday, there were some intense moments, but overall, Atleti threw without too many problems. It's nice to have a round of 16 tie that doesn't need to go to penalties.
Yes, absolutely. Thank goodness it didn't. None of them went to extra time. I was somewhat disappointed by that.
That's true. Yeah.
It was weird. I was expecting at least one to, but you know, well, probably in the next round there'll be one that will.
Yeah, especially with the draw that was held on Friday. Let's shift gears to that now. With the quarterfinal draw, Atletico were picked first by Ian Rush, and they will be playing Leicester City next month. The first leg is at the Calderon on April 12th, the second leg at King Power on April 18th. Immediate reaction, Rob?
Immediate reaction... I was happy, certainly, that we avoided some of the, I guess you'd say, the European giants, and also somewhat happy that the second leg is going to be on my birthday on the 18th, so that's exciting. I hope it's a happy one and not a depressing one.
Yeah, but, you better hope so.
Yes, exactly. I'll be watching that one for sure. But I think it's a very good draw, honestly. Leicester aren't doing well domestically, and they're certainly not a bad team. They get up for the big games. We've seen this season when they beat Liverpool and Man City. But it'll be a very fun tie, I think. And I think of all the teams Leicester could have gotten, honestly, for them, this is their worst, because Atleti know how to handle counterattacking teams like them and wouldn't fall into their trap like other teams have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've seen a lot of people say, English media people, say this is winnable for Leicester. Atletico are lower in the league than Sevilla, ergo this will be, you know, winnable for Leicester. Not so fast. Atletico are kind of like super Leicester. I saw Andy Thomas on SB Nation when he wrote a capsule on this tie, refer to Atletico as super Leicester. In a way, that's correct. If Leicester had drawn a Barcelona or a Bayern or a Real Madrid, those teams would have so much of the ball, and those teams would play such a wide-open style that, yeah, they might win by even comfortably because of their quality, but that style actually works better for Leicester.
Yeah, exactly. It plays right into their hands.
Yeah. When the more open you play and the more of the ball you had, just ask Sevilla, who had 70% possession on Tuesday and lost 2-0.
Right, exactly. And just get towards the end, we're just pumping balls into the box, which is exactly what Leicester wants you to do. That their huge center backs can head it out of there.
Yeah, I think Sevilla kind of fell victim to inexperience, and they fell victim to the moment. Sevilla have never gotten past the last 16 of the Champions League. They were expected to. They were favorites. Leicester were in a relegation fight and in all this turmoil, and Sevilla ended up playing right into their hands. I don't think Atletico will fall for that that easily. Atletico will let Leicester have the ball. And Atletico and Leicester are both very much counterattacking sides that don't always want the ball. So if Atleti dare Leicester to break them down, Leicester could have problems.
Yeah, that's right. And it is Leicester's strategy to sort of let the other team have the ball and see what they can do with it so they can counterattack them. And that's how they had so much success in the group stage and in the round of 16 against Sevilla. But it's a totally different proposition against a very well-drilled and very experienced Atleti team that know how to handle teams like this.
Yeah, exactly. You've got an Atletico team that's more disciplined than Sevilla, a lot more experienced, as Atleti have made two of the past three Champions League finals and are in a fourth consecutive quarterfinal. Leicester are venturing into the unknown, and they're here on their own merits. Let's not be misunderstood here. Leicester are not here because they're a fluke. Leicester are not here because they lucked into it. Leicester are here because they fully deserved to win the title last year. They fully deserved to advance to the quarterfinal after beating Sevilla 3-2 in aggregate. They absolutely did. You have to have NBA coach Greg Popovich says this all the time. You have to have the appropriate fear regarding your opponent. If Atleti respect their opponents, know their strategies, and adapt accordingly, then, yeah, this is an easier draw than Atleti, probably the best case scenario Atleti could hope for.
Yeah, absolutely. Of all the teams in the quarterfinal, Leicester are the furthest down in their domestic league. But that's because English teams figured them out. They know what they're going to do, and teams in Europe didn't really know quite how to handle Leicester, which made them look better than probably the sum of their parts. But I think Atleti will be very pleased with this. And if they do take them seriously and don't underestimate them, then it should be fairly straightforward, I think.
And Atleti, at their most negative, play English football better than English teams do.
It's so true. Yeah. It is so, so true. English teams would do very well to watch a lot of Atleti matches. They could learn quite a bit.
So it really is all in how Atleti approach this. If Atleti respect their opponent, then I'd say that they're pretty likely to go through. If they don't, and they make things complicated, and they try to do too much with the ball, then this will be complicated. And who knows what could happen? It could be the horror scenario of Atleti going out in a year where they get, certainly compared to Barcelona or Real Madrid, an easy draw. Certainly compared to those two teams.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those two got horror draws.
Yeah, and you've seen in the quarterfinals, Atleti drew Barcelona two of the past 3 years. They drew Real Madrid in the other year. Leicester this year, compared to those two, easier. I'll just say that.
Yeah, and both teams have a lot to prove, I think. And Leicester sort of have in their back pocket the nobody believes in us thing, which they've had for 2 years now. So.
You overcome 5,000-1 odds. You can kind of carry that card around.
Yes, they certainly deserve it.
Yeah, but this will be interesting. And Atleti do have a European history with Leicester. They've met Leicester twice in European competition in the 1961-62 Cup Winners' Cup. Atleti eliminated Leicester 3-1 in aggregate, and in the 1997-98 UEFA Cup when Atleti advanced 4-1 on aggregate.
Well, and I do believe the 61-62 Cup Winners' Cup, may it rest in peace. Atleti went on to win the competition, so good signs.
They did. Yes, they did. They did win it in 62.
So hopefully that bodes well. Yeah. I don't really know what to make of that. But,
or Leicester could get revenge, you know.
I don't know. I miss the idea of the Cup Winners' Cup. I'd take it instead of the Europa League.
It has a better name. Certainly,
certainly is a better name. It makes very little sense for people that don't know about soccer.
Cup Winners Cup. Just there's something special about that. So anyway, we'll have a lot more detailed analysis of our quarterfinal tie with Leicester City in the weeks ahead, both on this podcast and on the blog. So we'll leave it there for now, and after this, we will preview Atleti hosting Sevilla on Sunday. Back to La Liga on Sunday at the Calderon. Sevilla just beaten by Leicester. We'll visit Atletico, who have just drawn Leicester. Sevilla won this fixture earlier this season at home at the Sanchez-Pizjuan, 1-0 in a pretty convincing display. Steven Nzonzi scored the winner less than 20 minutes from time. Rob, how do you see this one going? Sevilla are in a bit of a rut right now, at a pretty crucial time in their season, while Atletico are building and gaining strength.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Sevilla, they've been really good this season, but as of late, they haven't been putting results together, and they haven't been scoring very many goals. And you look at their most recent results, it's one goal, two goals, max, since January. It's a good time to play Sevilla, better than when they were high-flying and looking like they were for sure going to lock up a Champions League place, especially having gone out to Leicester. I'm hopeful. But knowing, of course, that they're a good team, certainly, and very well coached as well. But
yeah.
We'll see.
This is not the same team. This has not been the same team since they beat Real Madrid back on January 15. They played a 7-goal thriller with Osasuna the week after, which you should not do because Osasuna are terrible. They won that 4-3.
Yes.
Then they lost to Espanyol, goalless draw with Villarreal. Then they won 5 in a row with a tight win against Las Palmas, pretty good win against Eibar, although Eibar probably deserved a little more. The 2-1 win over Leicester that they should have scored 3 or 4 in, and if they had done that, Atleti would likely be playing Sevilla instead. Then they won the derby against Betis with an offside goal. They beat Athletic, and Athletic dominated that game. Drew with Alaves, drew with Leganes, and then lost at King Power, all ahead of this game. So they haven't lost in La Liga since January 29, but they're not creating as many chances. They're not scoring. They look tired. They look uninspired. One may say this is an ideal time to draw them, but at the same time, this is still the team that has been in the top three just about the entire season. Their title challenge is probably over, but they have been demonstrably better than Atleti for a lot of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been far more consistent, especially in the early part of the season. But we sort of tend to see this with Bielsa disciple coaches that in the second half of the season, because they work them so hard, you know, it starts to wear and tear on the players, and they just haven't been able to recreate some of their high-scoring games that they had earlier in the season and be putting together as many chances as they used to. So it's certainly a good time to play them, I'd say, but they're a good team, as I say. But it'll be a very interesting one, I think. I think Atleti have a really good chance.
You're looking at a team that scored 3 goals in the last 4 games in all competitions. This is an ideal time to draw them. They've got a very deep squad, a lot of talent. Matias Kronovitter and Luciano Vietto will not be playing as per conditions in their loan deals. They were unlikely to do so anyway. Kronovitter has not been very good this season. Vietto has fallen out of favor. It's interesting what's going to happen to those two guys this summer. I mean, we'll talk about that as we get a little closer to the summer months, but it's going to be interesting to see what Atleti will do with them once they come back, because it doesn't look like Sevilla are interested.
Dependent on the transfer ban, I'd say.
Yeah, Kronovitter came over with such a good CV. Vietto, I don't know what to make of Vietto. It could very possible he was a one-year wonder at Villarreal and Atletico took the bait, but Kronovitter, I think they're less likely to give up on. I mean, we'll see what they do either way.
Yeah, for me, Vietto seems extremely like a kind of streaky sort of striker. If his confidence is there and if the situation's right, maybe, you know, everything works out. But he could, as you say, just have been a one-season wonder at Villarreal. But if Atleti aren't allowed to sign or register players this summer, then he may prove useful.
Yeah, he may. Sevilla they do have some injuries ahead of this game that we should talk about. I'm trying to find the article right now.
From what I'm looking at, it looks like Tremolinas is injured as well as Crondelli, and there's doubts for Adel Rami and Joaquin Correa as well.
Nico Pareja is the big one. It doesn't look like he's going to play. Their Argentine center back, very good player. It looks like he will not play. Yeah, Joaquin Correa does have the concerns as well. Key player off the bench for them.
Missed a penalty in the first leg against Leicester as well.
Yes, yeah. You're talking about penalty woes and put Atletico to shame.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they're sort of in the same boat. The penalty that, Nzonzi took was really, really
was
weak.
So
I was expecting him to blast
bad.
It, given the type of player he is, but nope.
He'd never taken a penalty before.
Really?
No.
And oh, wow.
You're asking him down 2-0 in the final 10 minutes of a Champions League knockout tie to take a penalty to get the game to extra time. What do you think he's going to do? I know, not score it.
Yeah, I know. I think it might have been Jovicic or maybe Vitola went up to him and said, hey, you know, you want to let me take this maybe? And he just shrugged him off. But
yeah,
poor choice.
Got to have some leadership there. Someone's got to take those penalties.
Yeah, well, we're still – I wouldn't say we're out of the woods yet on our penalty issues, but –
Not quite.
No, not yet.
Not quite. But at any rate, Sevilla look a little wounded right now. Atletico, again, gaining strength. They've taken points in 10 of the last 11 in La Liga. The only game they didn't was that close loss to Barcelona a few weeks back. And again, Felipe and Gabby will be back, and Kevin Gamero will as well. Gabby seems to be fully recovered, or most of the way back from his hand surgery. Felipe missed out midweek due to a suspension, and Gamero seems to be over his abdominal injury.
Yeah, those are three important players to have back, specifically Felipe and Gabby. But it'll be interesting to see how Gamero performs against his old club. I'd obviously like to see him score. He'll have something to prove, I guess.
Yeah, back in October, he started, and he lasted about an hour, didn't do a whole lot. Assorted whistles as he was whenever he touched the ball and as he trotted off the pitch. Will be interesting to see how he does in this game, though. Fernando Torres was on the bench on Wednesday, did not play, despite the fans clamoring to play him. But no, Simeone's too smart for that. You might as well save him for this game that actually quite matters, because if Atletico win it, they'll be just 2 points back of Sevilla.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting lineup for sure to see what Simeone goes with, because of the lineup used in the game against Bayer Leverkusen. It was sort of interesting. We didn't really expect for Correa and Griezmann to be the front two, but they certainly were, and they did quite well together, I thought.
Yeah, they kind of had to be, because Torres was declared fit, but I don't think he was all the way back.
No.
And Gamero was hurt. I think it'll be Griezmann and Gamero this weekend. Torres and Correa will be on the bench.
Probably so, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. And other than that, it'll pretty much be Atletico's first-choice squad. You've got Oblak with Versalco, Godin, Josema, and Felipe, Koke, Gabi, Saul, Carrasco in midfield, and then, of course, Griezmann and Gamero up top.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Saul does. He wasn't great in the second leg against Leverkusen, having scored the great goal in the first. But
yeah, he was great in the first leg, though.
Really, really good in the first. But he looked a bit sluggish to me in that game, kind of sloppy passing, etc. But we know he's a good player.
Yeah, that was kind of wouldn't say a clunker for him, but considering his recent form, it wasn't a great performance. He's played much better of late. He's played all 90 minutes each of the last five games. He's scored in the first leg in Germany. He's looking like he's hit form somewhat, which is more than he's done all season, because he had been searching for it all season. It looks like he's come close to hitting it now, which is important. That's good.
Yeah, when he's on form, he's a really lovely player to watch play as well. Very important for the team.
What do you got in the way of a scoreline prediction?
Ooh, I think Sevilla will probably score, but I think Atletico will probably edge it, given their recent results. So I'll say 3-1 and
3-1.
Optimistic.
I do not think Atletico will win. I think Sevilla, they're better away than they were last year. I think that they can certainly do enough to get a creditable result, even with injuries. I'll go 1-1, and Sevilla score a very late equalizer, like deep into stoppage time.
Ooh, drama.
Which will be very annoying.
It's interesting. It's kind of interesting to have two teams that are coming off European matches midweek, so hopefully the hangovers will offset each other.
Yeah, Sevilla will probably be very motivated and trying desperately to get their season back on track, while Atletico will be kind of comfy with where they're at. And that can be dangerous.
Yeah, Atletico will certainly be feeling quite good after this week that just went by. Very professional result against Leverkusen and a decent draw in the Champions League. So,
yeah, pretty favorable there. All right, a couple news items before we sign off for for this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Atletico expanding its brand. They've sealed an investment in Atletico San Luis, a Liga MX side in San Luis Potosi in central Mexico. It's the third team Atletico have a stake in, Atletico Kolkata in India and Lens in France. So that's all about brand expansion there.
Yeah, that's a thing. If they get some good players, maybe we can snitch them at some point. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. In a way, it's good to see Atleti branching out and trying to get, I guess, tentacles in other leagues and other places around the world. It speaks to how much the club has grown in just the last definitely. 3 or 4 years.
It's certainly interesting. I don't know how that'll work out for them in the long run or how deep those associations are. Because I know RC Lens in France were they were on the verge of bankruptcy when Atletico stepped in.
Yeah, so. they were in a bad way. They have a 35% stake in Lens. Atleti Kolkata in the Indian Super League have been part of the Atleti family, so to speak, since 2014.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not having sort of branches in other countries, something a bunch of clubs are doing, specifically teams like, you know, Man City that have the Australian one and New York City FC in the States. Yeah. So,
and it actually looks like Lens are going to be promoted for next season. They're currently a joint top of Ligue 2 and looks like they're going to be promoted.
Well, they produced some good players in the past. I guess the biggest would be Rafa Varane at
That's right.
That other Madrid team.
Yeah, the other guys. He did come through there before he joined those morons at the Bernabeu.
Yeah, big money, but I don't think he played too many times for him. One of those.
I think he had like one season before Mourinho said, "All right, let's buy him."
Yeah, they had seen enough.
Yeah. So there's that. Other news, Atleti will have a new sponsor for next season. It's Bwin, a former sponsor for Real Madrid. Atleti announced that last week, a pretty lucrative deal with Bwin, major betting company.
Yes, and somewhat better looking, I'd say, than the current one. I don't have a huge thing against it, but it's plus not 500. The best looking.
It's plus 500 is kind of boring.
It's a little boring, yeah.
I think it is.
And I know there's some, you know, kind of moral problems with the whole Azerbaijan thing, but it was nice looking.
Quite a few. It was more colorful, but yeah, there a lot of problems with that.
It was a looker. It was definitely a looker, not much else.
So another sponsorship deal. Also, news relating to Atleti's transfer ban. Of course, Real Madrid had theirs cut a couple months back. Atleti are set to know the status of their transfer ban on April 24. That's according to Marca. April 24 is the day on which Atleti are set to receive news as to whether their transfer ban will be cut or whether it will continue unabated until 2018.
It's really, truly massive to what the club's going to do in the summertime in terms of departures and arrivals, I think.
Kind of important that they know before the summer starts. So it looks like the court's going to leave it till as close to summer as possible before deciding. It's another 5 weeks away, but April 24 is the date, so make sure you save it. And we'll see if we get any news on the status of Atleti's two-window transfer ban on that date.
Yeah, definitely. It could be a big summertime if it is lifted. I think there will be definitely more people going as well as people coming in, big players, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be money spent this summer, no matter what happens in the Champions League or the rest of the way in La Liga.
Yeah, most definitely. And there could be some high profile exits as well, as we've seen with players that haven't worked out.
Yep, plus the new stadium and yeah,
all that,
a lot of balls up in the air there.
Most definitely.
All right, anything else?
I think that's about it for this week. It'll be an interesting weekend, certainly.
All right, sign-off message time. Yay.
Woo.
As ever, I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
That's me.
That is indeed you, correct. You win.
Yay!
You win. I ask Rob to stick around for just a second while I conclude the sign-off message, but you can follow Rob at rwalk03 on Twitter. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, at jbbarron, that's jbberen. You can follow the blog Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, and make sure to like us on Facebook. Not all of you like us on Facebook. What's wrong with you? Remedy that situation by liking us on Facebook. We have fire content there.
We know you have a Facebook. Everyone does. You just might not use it.
Everyone does. Everyone has one. So if you don't, even if you don't use it just to like us.
Yeah, we'd appreciate that.
You can also listen to all new and archived episodes of Cult Genero Chat and subscribe to this program via the following platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. That's right. Leave a rating and review on iTunes in particular really helps us out. And that's about it. Yes, I've gotten through all of it. Hooray for me. All right, that does it for this edition of Cult Genero Chat. We will be back next week to review the game against Sevilla and start the international break festivities.
Yay! Nothing's happening.
Yay, nothing's happening. Well, we might have a couple surprises in store for you, dear listener, so do stick around during our international break to see what we've got cooking. In the meantime, adios.